This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
LeBron will oblige with one to shoot. In! Rattles home! Doncic and LeBron! The greatest combo going right now, just toying with him. Triple-double for Luka Doncic.
Greatest combo going right now. Gosh, man, we're a handful of games in, TNT.
It's like Stan Van, where he said Luka Kyrie, greatest backcourt of all time.
Yeah, something so offensive to Nico, he's like, I got to trade this guy. I don't want people making these comparisons.
Luka and the Lakers get the win over the Mavericks last night. Good morning, Metroplex. Let's take some Luka Laker calls if you have the stomach for it. What did you think while watching it? Did you change your mind with your rooting interest during it? 877-881-1053. Hit us up. 877-881-1053. And Bobby, in a commercial break, just started shaking his head slowly, saying last night, the reality set in even more.
Yeah, it was something where you're watching it last night, and it started with the shot of him walking into the arena that TNT showed like 20 minutes before the game. And I saw him walk in there, and it has the graphic that says Dallas versus LA. And I was like, if you would have showed this to me a month ago, nothing would have looked out of place. It's like, yeah, of course, Dallas and LA, there's Luka walking in. And it's like, it's so nuts to think when you watch a guy that they willingly
to the Lakers
walked away.
And to me, to the Lakers.
To the Lakers of all teams. I mean, I guess that makes sense because that's where Nico's relationship is. And Nico's such a relationship guy. But it's just, it blows my mind. And last night, sitting there watching it, it did make me feel like borderline sad at times. Like, what the hell did they do? Why? There's no explanation for this. There will never be any explanation for this. And I don't know that 5 years from now, it's not going to feel like that again. Like, 5 years from now, when Luka rolls in town, it might still, you watch and go like, God, it's like watching your ex walk in with somebody. What is this? This sucks.
So bad. It's so weird. Watch that game. It was just the weirdest feeling. It really was. Like, I found myself just watching Luka. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, it's a Maverick game. Usually you watch the team. You know what? I just found myself just paying attention to him, wherever he was on the floor. And when he wasn't on the floor, all I wanted to do was see him get back on the floor. It's a very strange feeling.
Now you know how the young generation feels of sports fans, whether it's Nick Harris or RJ's kids, that you start paying attention to the player and not the team like we grew up with.
I mean, like, I've the only time I've done that is with Manning. Like, that's it.
With who?
With Manning. With Peyton. You know, like,
you said Banny.
Oh, no.
I know. Banny too.
Bromance, but man.
I know. I just watched him manage. It was the way he gave the way he would call first and third. That was amazing. But yeah, it's just like, that's the only time I've ever done that. And you know, last night it was like, okay, I feel like I'm kind of doing this again. Well, I guess maybe I did a little bit with Jason Kidd. He was my favorite player like for a while. But I mean, he was on the Mavs, so it was easy.
What was it like for you? 877-881-1053. Luka just saying, I cannot wait to go to sleep. I'm glad this is over. And closure is going to take a while, but it's happening day by day. Dusty and Rockwall, you're first up with Sean and RJ. Go ahead, Dusty.
What's up, guys? Listen, I don't think y'all are talking about one of the most important things as a Maverick fan. I was a fan before Luka. He was awesome to watch while he was here, and it was great to watch him last night. But at no point was I rooting for the Mavericks to lose that game. The effort that the guys are putting forth on the court, guys, y'all are not talking about. It's awesome what Kidd is getting out of the team. Go Mavs.
Hey, I respect the call.
I do too, but I mean, it is the same spot. There are plenty of people who say this is not a unique case. It's a unique case for the Dallas Mavericks. There have been plenty of people over the last decade or plus who have said, I love the Cowboys. I was a Cowboys fan before Jerry got here, but until Jerry's got, I want them to suffer for it. Like, that is something that people have felt. Fans have felt. So this
but
is
have it. They stuck to it?
I think there are some people who like the misery and like watching when they struggle. They'll still watch. They consume it. Mm-hmm. Just like people are consuming the Mavericks right now, but there are a lot of them that want to watch them suffer.
Look, I want to pay a little attention to the point that the Tolo brought up about playing hard. There has to be a segment of the Mavs front office or a portion of Nico's brain that does believe, hey, we're playing harder without him. Look, we did go 3-0. We won 5-6. No one expected that. Like, the effort that we gave last night, that effort is not there with him on the court full time. Now, the talent a lot of times is enough to overcome maybe not getting a defensive assignment, getting blown by, not a rotation, a technical foul that you give up with a point, as we saw Luka with the tech last night. I do think this try hard, play hard mentality is a positive for them so far, because they have played hard and no one expected them to be 3-0 or winning 5 of 6.
They have played hard. We have seen this in the NBA before. I think it was Utah a few years ago. They had like a really nice year. Nice start to their year, at least.
Yes.
Like, they were completely undermanned. And people kept talking about, yeah, but like it's kind of fraudulent. They're playing at a really high level. They're playing hard. In a regular season NBA game, guys are given like 70%.
Yep.
They're given 90. If you're in the NBA, you're given 90. The other team's given 70. I don't care how different the talent is. 90's going to win out a lot. When you get to the playoffs, everyone's given max effort.
Yep.
And you get exposed. And that's like, and I'm not saying the Mavs are going to get exposed, because they'll get healthy. And they'll get Gafford. They'll get Anthony Davis back.
They're going to have a scary team. They are. They're going to be a frightening matchup.
You won't be able to get anything outside of a 3-3 against them. You just won't. So they're going to be a difficult team to match up with, because they're going to be completely different, built differently than the rest of the NBA. For not all the NBA, but a lot of the rest of the NBA. But, you know, right now in the regular season, you can get by with just effort.
Moral victories just don't replace actual victories. They're shooting 41% the last like four games.
Richard and Allen, you're next up on the D&M Leasing Hotline. Go ahead, Rich.
How's it going? I wanted to say that my comparison is when Emmitt Smith went to the Cardinals and then we played them. I was rooting for us to win, right? And Roy Williams laid a big hit on Emmitt Smith. I was going crazy. I believe we won that game, and that's the way that I felt about this game. Also, I want to give a shout-out to the Allen Eagles for beating North Crowley last night in basketball. Hey, up. Thank you, guys.
Hey, Richard, real quick. Do you remember what Emmitt Smith said about the Cowboys that offseason that caused fans to root against him?
I don't remember.
He said he was a diamond surrounded by trash in Dallas. Luka has handled everything very there's nothing unlikable that Luka's done since. I think that's also part of why it's different. You're also talking about a guy who was at the end of his career where people were like, we got to get him out.
Good call, man. Appreciate it. Velton in Arlington, you're next up here on 105.3 The Fan. Go ahead, man.
Hey, you guys just really hit on it. I hadn't heard anybody talk about it yet. We're missing 3 7-footers. There was a point in the time where LeBron was just in the paint, just dominating, and it's like, man, there's no big man down there. Dwight Powell came back, but it's just the Mavericks don't have any big men right now, and it's going to be hard to win games just because of that simple fact. But when they come back, they're literally probably the best team in the league.
Woo! There you go. The best team in the league. Sounding like Charles Barkley and Kendrick Perkins.
Too bad you've structured your roster around big men that are always hurt. You're going to deal
that's
with this a lot.
That's gonna bite him.
And if AD, as he's wont to do, he doesn't want to show up all the time as a first or second scorer. If he's not going to give you 27 a night in the playoffs, you don't have a second score. That terrifies me because then it's way too much reliance on Kyrie Irving. If AD isn't going to consistently show up as an alpha, which he does not want to do, you're in trouble offensively. But otherwise, they're a terrifying matchup. Andreas in Dallas. Andreas, you're next up here on Sean and RJ.
Good morning, fellas. Two things. Seeing Luka in the Lakers jersey last night was hard to watch. Number two, these maps have proved me wrong. They've been playing really, really good, and everyone else has said it. Once we reach the playoffs, hopefully we make it and get our big men back. I think we're going to be the best team in the Western Conference. We're just going to have too much size for people to deal with.
And if they make the finals or win the championship, how are you feeling towards Nico?
He's still dead to me. If they win two, three titles with this group, and then you can always say what if with Luka, but until we actually win one, it's always going to be, you know, I said, he said. That's all I have.
Thanks for the call. See, the last two callers were talking about the excitement of the Mavs as a playoff matchup. They did not say, until we drug it out of him, Nico's basketball death. Hey, I don't care how far they go. I don't care what they do. It doesn't matter as a matchup. It's not going to count. At least in the last two calls, they're focused on like this team and the playoff possibility. Mike in Dallas, you're up next. Mike, you're live on the Fan.
Yes, sir. Hey, all of the Mavs fans around the Metroplex, man, I want y'all to say with me at the same time. Thank you, Nico.
Oh, my.
Thank you, Nico.
Laker Mike.
Hey, man, listen. Yeah, you guys going to have the tallest team, but, man, three of those guys, street clothes is going to be back over there in that powder blue Mavs fur coat. He's going to be hurt again. Trust me. I've seen this. The other two guys really can't shoot, so they're going to be a liability on offense. And sometimes, man, you're going to have two to three players out there that's going to be taller than everybody else. But, dude, the load is going to be on Kyrie and AD, and one of them is not going to be on the floor a full strength. It's going to take him some time to get back in shape. I love what I saw last night. Thank you, Dallas Mavericks, for igniting Luka to play like he played, getting a triple-double against you guys. I appreciate it. Thank you, Mavs. Let's go, Mavs.
Get him out of here. Get him out of here. The thing I can't make sense of, and it's the reason that Brian Windhorst and others are putting a lot of credibility into the Lakers, their defensive numbers don't make any sense whatsoever. They've gone to, like, first in the league recently. And it's not just a two-game sample size. Like, their defensive efficiency numbers have skyrocketed without any bigs and with Luka Doncic on the floor. It makes no sense. That's why J.J. Redick is getting all the flowers right now.
Look, maybe Nico's right. Defense wins championships, and maybe that's why the Lakers will contend. It's because they're actually playing defense. Luka will play defense well when he's motivated to do so. He's probably a little more motivated to do so right now. He has been the last couple games.
He had some nice defensive possessions yesterday. Christy and Cleburne. Christy, you're up next on Sean and RJ. Go ahead.
Good morning. I'm just going to say that Luka's been playing basketball for so long, since he was so young, and he can finally make decisions for himself, and he wants to do things outside of that as well. And he can still ball on the court. I don't think anybody's really taken that into account, that how long he's put the work in, and he's still so good. And maybe this is going to be a wake-up call for him to say, hey, I've got to keep putting it in to get my ring.
Yeah, maybe. I doubt it.
The beast is awoken.
Yesterday with that whole beast is awoken thing, you know, been there, done that. Maybe for a year, but I think Nico is like rolling his eyes over that. Or maybe they just didn't have LeBron James to get him that motivated.
Or just maybe they were impatient. It's like Coop said yesterday. Yep. This is about the age it clicked for Dirk. This was around the time it clicked for Dirk. And Dirk had a lot of the same bad habits. There's a famous viral image of Dirk just like holding beers in Dallas his like second year here. Yeah. And hanging out with
him
Steve
and Nash.
Like, yeah.
Just together with
yeah, famous photo. And
that at the Loon?
It was.
Yes, I think it probably was.
So, yeah, but I mean, like, that's it clicked for Dirk. Dirk had a lot of these same traits early on in his career.
Look, the problem is it was too early. You do this at 29. You make this move when he's 29 and he hasn't grown up. You don't make it at 25.
And we just talked about, like, Nico could be pulling a New York Giants front office on us. If it's true, I think it was D Magazine or some editor who had this weird random report that Nico's looking at leaving this job after 3 years, You better know that and be cool with that if you're the DeMonson ownership.
Yeah.
Versus, all right, Matt Stafford right now. Matt Stafford right now, try to save ourselves. Don't worry about growing and developing another quarterback. You know, Nico may be like, hey, I want to walk off with one championship because I'm not going to be here in 5, 7, 9, 10 years. I don't care. You need to know that. Riz in Dallas, you get the final word for right now. Riz, you're live on the Fan.
It hurts, man. I've been a Mavericks fan my whole entire life. Whenever we traded away Luka, it felt like the torch was passed from Dirk to Luka. It felt like we tore that completely off. Nico's dead to me. I'm no longer a Mavericks fan. I'm done with the team. I love you guys. Been listening for years. Y'all have a good one.
Appreciate it. Appreciate it. 877-881-1053. 877-881-1053. We're heading to the NFL Combine in Indianapolis right after this show. What do we need to learn in Indy for the Cowboys and about everybody else? We have a Combine preview during the commercial-free expressway, a little baby ticket giveaway, and we'll chop it up next on Sean and RJ.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
We are commercial free on your home of the Dallas Cowboys and the Texas Rangers. This radio station with dual coverage for the first time ever, maybe in the history of DFW Sports Radio, with the KMC Masterpiece and the G-Bag Nation in surprise for Rangers baseball. And we are heading to the Combine in Indianapolis right after the show. How quick was your packing? And what is your excitement? I will say this. I'm more excited for this trip than any of the other ones. I usually dread the traveling, dread the earlier wake-up times. This is quick. It's short. It's East Coast. It's head on a swivel with stars and big names walking around all over the street. I'm expecting, and it's steakhouses for the next 2 days. So that is my mentality, and that is why I'm very excited to head to Indy right after this. And my packing, it better be a carry-on bag. It's just a duffel bag, but it's a, like a bigger duffel bag because I want to be able to land back at DFW Airport. We'll get to that story in a second and chopping it up and walk right out to the rideshare. But short, simple, sweet. Didn't even need a lot of the wife's assistance for packing for this trip. So check, check, check.
Man, you sound very Gen Z carrying a duffel bag. No wheels?
No wheels.
Very Gen Z. They're trying to bring it back. They're bringing it back like the
Gen Z. That's Chris Arnold and Tim Collins.
I've seen them
pack for a week in Indy with a duffel bag.
See, but that all comes back around, right? Gen Z is copying the old folk. Ruben got the Fuji camera, the disposable camera, right? He goes, it's vintage.
While wearing bell bottoms.
While we're here.
Which, so, what did he say in New Orleans about like they just take things and rename them?
Yeah.
That's what Gen Z does with all their stupid trends. They act like this is this cool thing we created. It's like literally everybody's been doing that, but okay, whatever.
So yeah, I like the duffel bag look. I don't have one. Or I do. I just don't know where it is.
I don't know how long it took Kristen to pack for me. Maybe like 2 hours or something. I don't know. She just was like, do you want this? And I'd be like, yep. And then she threw it in the bag. I have no idea what's actually in my bag right now.
Made her drop you off at 5 a.m. too.
Didn't make her. She wanted to.
You didn't. So, you ruled out getting an Uber yesterday.
No. But I had said I would just park there. And she's like, I don't know when to get the car though after that. Blah, blah. And I was like, I don't know. These are all the options. We could do this. And one of them was, you could drop me off and just take the car back in the morning if you want. And she's like, I'll do that. And so she picked that one. I gave her multiple choice. I'm a benevolent leader. I don't force people, you know?
Pepe, what's your level of FOMO for this one? Where are you throwing the combine trip into the levels of missing out?
Well, this is now two trips this year. That I've missed out, you know, Super Bowl week in New Orleans and now a combine I missed out on. And the FOMO hit me so hard, I had to book a trip to Boston next month. So I'll be going on my trip where you guys can have the FOMO and everything else and do the steakhouse pictures, which I already have a reservation for.
You couldn't even pull the trigger on a steak in Costco the other day.
It was lobster.
Oh, sorry. It was lobster. Okay.
And aren't you taking another trip in the summer?
I got a couple. Couple planned up here. So.
Look at this. Yeah. Jeez.
All right. What do we need to see and find out in Indianapolis?
So, yeah, the scouting combine is like we were just talking about here. It's the most unique setup that exists in the NFL in terms of just the people who are around there, the people that you interact with, the stuff that will go on there. You've got all sorts of meetings that are being had between agents and teams and finding out, you know, what players they're interested in, whether that's the draft or free agency. This is when you start hearing about somebody's plans, if there's a potential cut on the horizon. So it's a unique spot because all these leaders get together. It's like the baseball winter meetings when they all get together and just anything can happen because of everyone being in the same spot. So while we're there, we should be able to get the answers to a lot of different questions, whether on the record or off.
Well, as you said last night, you can't run, you can't hide. The Ravens have to address Justin Tucker.
Yeah, exactly like that. So the Ravens, who have ducked all sort of responsibility from talking, they've been like Nico Harrison after the trade, just not making any appearances to talk to anybody. At the combine, you have to talk. It's part of generally your media obligations with the league. Mm-hmm. So even if you don't want to stand up there at the podium, you got to put in some time. So when they go up there and stand up there, and Eric DaCosta has to now answer questions about Justin Tucker after avoiding it for as long as he did, he does have to say, yeah, look, NFL's investigating, obviously very serious, don't want to rush to any judgment until we see conclusions, but those are the kind of things that you get. That's the stuff you get on the record in the steakhouses at night or just running around town. You're going to get even more information. So here are the five things I think we need to find out about the Cowboys this week. Number one, got to find out who the handful of names are that could be in play at 12, because right now I think everybody's just been guessing. Like, for the most part, I think they know Genty's a good player and they need a running back. You know, maybe they could use a receiver. Is Luther Burden from Missouri going to be the best one sitting there? Probably. All right, let's mock him there. You're just trying to connect names to needs and general consensus on those players without finding out, does Dallas even like that player? did Dallas meet with that guy? We're going to see all the formal visits that they have while they're at the combine.
Like Oregon Edge Jordan Birch saying he formally met with the Cowboys on Monday night.
Exactly. So you get, and those meetings are the ones that you see. Occasionally you'll see like a documentary or something posted to a team's social media account after they draft somebody of, like, I remember Carson Wentz when he got picked by the Eagles. They showed this meeting that they had with him where he's just in this room with them, this suite, and going over film and doing stuff on a whiteboard. That's what this opportunity is for those players. It's a chance to really get to know, what do they know, what's their character like, how do they interact with people. When Nick Harris went to this on Monday, this is where we found out that A.D. Mitchell, the receiver, was not going to be picked by a lot of teams was because of how he handled his interviews. So you're going to get some decisions made this week and get a better understanding. You're going to start hearing some buzz starting next week of maybe this person could be in play for Dallas at 12. Maybe this person, and names that we haven't necessarily heard yet, like Genty or Burden or different people like that. Two, they are on that bus a lot this week, Jerry is, and they're having all sorts of meetings and having all sorts of discussions with different people.
Is the bus like parked in a central location?
So what'll happen is when they get to town, yeah, they will park it. I mean, they use it to get around town, but they'll park it usually out in front of the Marriott. And so it's just kind of sitting out there. But this is going to be Rico Dowdle, Oso Digizua, DeMarcus Lawrence, different guys like that. Starting to get an understanding of who's actually going to be back here. Terrence Steele, is Steele going to be back? Which it sounds like it's trending more towards he will be back, because Stephen Jones gave comments this week that said Clayton Adams really likes him and has already, you know, dived deep. And that's a big part of what they're looking forward to is the work that he's going to do with Terrence Steele. So it doesn't sound like he's going to be somebody they're going to move on from. But this will give us an idea of, is D-Law coming back? Is Osa in play? How much is he going to cost? You're going to start hearing that stuff trickle out. And D-Law specifically, Steven mentioned this the other day, his press his media availability. He had said that he didn't want to speak to, he didn't want to say too much. He was very vague. And he said, you know, I think we'll just leave it up to him to talk. And so it sounds like, all right, that almost sounds like you're anticipating maybe a retirement. Or you could be looking at, he something that's in DeMarcus Lawrence's court that he needs to speak on and that the Cowboys don't want to chime in on until he does. So I think that that's going to be a big part of this, is finding out how much Rico is potentially worth and those different things that exist. Three.
God, he's been in the league 11 years.
Yeah, I know. I mean, same draft class as Zach Martin. That was their first two picks, were Zach Martin and DeMarcus Lawrence that year. Find out what exactly happened. This is the thing I'm most interested in.
We'll find out.
I want to find out what exactly happened from the report on a Friday that said they were working to bring back Mike McCarthy to some 2 weeks later, Brian Schottenheimer's getting hired. We've heard enough about McCarthy saying, I walked away, and then we go, no, it was this. You're more likely, I think, to get relevant details this week that will flesh out that picture and go, how did that miscommunication happen? Were they actually determined on Friday to do it and it fell apart? Or was that bad info that somebody was leaking to maybe press the Cowboys to get into negotiations? This will be a week where you're going to hear all about any unheard details previously of how that negotiation went.
But okay, so we will. How much of that though is it's all going to be one side information?
No, not typically. So when you're out there, because it's everybody in the league, anybody who would have,
that's why you make them drink martinis.
anybody who's dealt with Mike McCarthy or is friendly with Mike McCarthy around the league, it all goes around to where people end up having a good idea there in Indianapolis.
That's the thing that bothers me. There's a lot that bothers me. But Todd Archer was right. Jay Glazer confirmed it, yep, even though the Cowboys argued against it, that they gave Mike, was it 3 years? Three versus five. Mm-hmm. And Mike wanted five. So, like, did you want him? Like, is that the person you want as your wife? Or is that person just willing to accept a lot of your bad habits? Like, is that your chosen one? Pick the person you think is the Super Bowl winning coach, not the one, okay, he'll take the 3 years. That infuriates me that that's in my mind as their head coaching checklist.
And by the way,
you're not good enough if you want five, but you're good enough if you want three. No. Are you good enough or not?
Did no one say, let's just make it four?
Right.
Like, right? No one's to say, hey, why don't we just meet in the middle here?
Well, Bobby's of the belief.
Yeah, go ahead.
All this was fake negotiating. All this was for window dressing. That they either wanted to force him to say no, be so insulted he walked away, or vice versa, right?
Yeah, that's sort of like basically a make it so uncomfortable that you just quit, like that kind of thing. Like, I don't want to fire you, but maybe just give you the opportunity to walk away.
Like, what if they really sat down? Jerry goes, here's your 3-year deal. And Mike goes, cool, good. Would the Cowboys have been happy with it?
I think they knew where he stood. And I think they weren't close on money. I don't think they were going to be close on money at all.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I think Mike McCarthy wanted to be paid like probably one of the 5 to 10 highest paid coaches in the NFL. I think that's what he went in there asking for. And they weren't going to do that. But so I think that we'll find out.
We'll find out.
It's not just about figuring out which of these things are true. Which of the, like, we already know certain things. This week, we should probably find out more things that we just don't even have an awareness of that may have gone on during that. Like,
now, are these people going to talk to you with me and RJ eating shrimp cocktail around them?
Yeah, I mean, everybody's just kind of hanging out. Like I said, it's not like a, I've got to meet the court. It's just who you bump into. And if you're out, it's like, oh, hey, how's it going? And just in the course of conversation. Or sometimes it could just be as simple as, oh, you know what was being talked about over here earlier? Like, I mean, you'll start to get an idea of just, okay, well, that's something I need to run down. I remember, we don't cover the Ravens, so it doesn't matter. Some of the stuff I heard about the Lamar Jackson contract negotiations a couple years ago were insane, where I was like, okay, this is secondhand, but if I'm somebody in Baltimore and I hear this being talked about, that at least lets me go, all right, I got to go ask people that I know if this really happened.
One of my favorite recreations in life is people watching. Mm-hmm. And one of my favorite people to watch during this is actually going to be Bobby.
Yeah.
Because he's going to be a nervous wreck, keep up his appearances, Mr. Professional out there. He's going to know all these inside sources and info while you and I don't. So we're just going to be able to sit back, relax, and watch Bobby spaz out. It's going
to
be awesome.
It is. He has to lead the way. And we all know what Bobby's like when he leads the way. He starts flailing those arms, speed walking.
We're going to get left on the streets of Indy.
He's going to be walking like the bushwhackers out there.
No, it's like it's the Conor McGregor thing. It's the whatever belt whackers.
Yeah,
that's the thing. No, I don't know. I think I will be a tense mess probably on Radio Row is where I'm guessing I'll be a little more tense because I'll be probably on the phone trying to coordinate getting people over there and different things like that.
Will you drink at dinner?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I mean, like Indy, it is social drinking week. Okay. And so, no, I absolutely will. And
are you going to slam shots like you normally do?
I've been pretty lit up in Indianapolis at 1 a.m. before. Okay. And so, but like it does have this odd feeling that they've been in meetings all day, everybody across the league that you know.
They're looking to get out of class and break out.
It's like the factory worker who gets out. It's like, let's go head to the bar and have some beers. It's just like everybody's just kind of taking a sigh. Like those bars just feel kind of like a collective sigh. And everyone's just like catching up like, hey, how have you been? Haven't seen you in a while. And so it's just a good opportunity to catch up on things and figure out what the thought is on a number of different topics. Number four, hear if there are any realistic rumbles at all about Micah Parsons' future. Most people have shot this down, and Cowboys have shot it down and said, look, no reason it shouldn't get done. Stephen Jones said, I don't see any reason that there's anything out there, paraphrasing, that would cause us not to be able to get our hands around it.
That's not what I just said.
Yeah, that's exactly what you said, Stephen. So I want to hear, did it just go to, like Ian Rappaport reported, hey, just as a doing our due diligence, what do you think we could get for him? All right, let's just move on from that. Let's sign up. Or do they ask anybody? Do they have some Rob Pelinka coffee shop meeting about Mike? Did they ever do anything like that? Chances are probably not, but we will hear about the sort of things that maybe they have a concern with, maybe that Micah's side is concerned with in terms of what they would want to commit to here. Because we always hear that about what Lamb, his holdup was, what Dak's holdup was on their side. I'm sure Mike is going to have his. And we'll also find out, is Micah really about, let's hand back $10 million. I don't need to be the highest paid. I think we're going to come out of this week and find out, Micah wants every bit of the top market money. And so I think that's going to be something that we'll find out here. And then number five, this is always, I think, the most valuable thing you find out while you're out there. Find out what positions they're prioritizing. And if those priorities would then indicate a potential trade up or trade down. So when you start hearing about, man, we really could use a defensive tackle, we could really use that, and you start hearing them list off the things that they need, and then you think about how the draft sets up and the quality of the draft, and it's like, well, you need four positions that only go three rounds deep. So that's a decent bet that you may back up and then try to pick up an extra third. Or maybe you go, man, we need this really bad. Well, that guy's not getting out of the top 10. You may be looking at trading up then to go get them. And so even short of specific players they might not like or they might like, it's a good opportunity to go, where do they feel they're really deficient? And then you can start narrowing down things really fast and get a better idea of who you need to focus on and what you need to gather.
Bobby Belt with a combine preview. It is all brought to you by Rhino Shield Ceramic Coating. Never paint your house again. And by Best Buy Windows and Siding. Let's hook you up for turning it on and leaving it on.
All right, Tolos, that's right. Right now, call number 10 at 877-881-1053 wins a pair of tickets. See Lil Baby at the American Airlines Center on June 5th. That's call number 10 at 877-881-1053.
You know this one, Ralph? Good beat.
That's a good beat. I don't know that I know this one or not. I knew yesterday's.
I don't know it.
How small is Lil Baby real Lil?
I don't know. Let's find it out.
I don't know. I haven't seen
one of those opposite names.
I give him 5'10". 5'10".
You 5'10"? 5'10"?
Are you guessing or are you?
I'm guessing.
5'8".
5'8". Short. Way off. Way off. 877-881-1053 in order to win.
Makes
we're
going to
hook you up every day at this time for turning it on, leaving it on. It's a hump day.
Hump day.
Sean and RJ, let's chop it up.
All right, here we go, fellas. Let's have a little fun today.
Get ready for the four-day work week, baby. Let's go. Bobby's shaking his head over here, but now the number of school districts in the state of Texas that have a four-day school week is up to 104, as Ponder is the latest.
104?
104 districts in the state are on a four-day, or will be on a four-day school week.
Wow.
We need Dallas and Fort Worth to get on there.
Is that going to lower, like, if Dallas passes that, and you're paying $30,000 a year for private school, is that going to like put a huge dent in that? Four days?
It wouldn't change it. Because you're going the same amount of hours. You would increase the length of the day.
Oh, okay.
So like your school day would go, instead of like whatever, it's 8 to 3, it might go 8 to 4:30. So 90 more minutes a day times four, whatever. Okay. Whatever.
My kids would hate that. My kids would hate that. They would gladly take an extra day if they didn't have to be in school 2 hours longer each day. They already feel like they don't get enough time just during the week. That I don't think the extra
day would
matter.
They want more time in school?
No, I'm saying I think they would pick 5 days a week.
Yeah.
At 8 hours a day, then 4 days at 10 hours
a day. But you said they feel like they don't get enough time. What is
right. So like Laura, for instance, it becomes a big pain for us. We keep having to deal with it with her. She will wake up at 5:30 in the morning just to be able to watch cartoons and other stuff that she feels like she doesn't have time to live when she gets home.
Yeah.
Because mom wants to get her in bed by 8 o'clock or whatever. And so she feels like during the week, she just can't do anything that is like fun. So she gets up way early and then she's tired all the time. If you extended it by 2 hours, it would be way worse.
Your kids are absolutely the people who remind the teacher that they gave homework.
No, hell no. What are you talking about? That's literally the opposite.
They don't want a 4 day, they don't want
a
3 day weekend.
No, literally the opposite. They want to get the hell out of there. And so I don't think the extra day makes enough of a difference to them to be able to say, oh yeah, I'll gladly stay here till 5 and then go to bed at 8. I'm not doing that.
Well, look, all it takes is Dallas and Fort Worth, and then the whole, everybody has to go to it then at that point.
And it won't matter though. They will still make you, just like it doesn't matter now in two-parent households that work and you still have to figure out a way to get your kids, they're going to make you figure out a way to get your kids on the other
We all know, like, schools dictate just about everything in life. Like, every job, all that stuff, it's dictated around that. If you have a four-day school week, the amount of companies that go to a four-day work week exponentially grow.
Friday daycares will become huge. That's what it'll do. That's honestly the only difference. I don't think there's any chance it goes four-day work week.
What else does society have to copy off of school?
What do you mean?
You said school set the tone for everybody else.
Oh, I mean, like
what?
Spring break, you know, like anytime the kids are out of school, work from home grows. At the very least, I mean, everybody goes back to working from home.
Hey, I'm rooting for it.
Yeah.
I'm rooting for it.
Now, one of the things they are saying,
if it means that for us. I don't care about my kids' enjoyment. I don't want them home for a day during the work week unless I'm off.
Yeah, and you say the school reflects the work week. Isn't it the work week more reflecting the school? Like, that's why schools are 5 days a week, is because generally people are working 5 days a week.
Yeah, but now, like, if schools are only in 4 days a week, the reverse would happen.
Or it would just speak to they're not going to, bigger school districts just aren't going to flip on.
They might not. Yeah, the bigger school districts might not. Like, a lot of, most of these that are doing this are more remote, where they have a bigger land, a bigger area that they
still ring bells and say supper's ready.
Yeah, right. So a bigger area to get your kids to school, and it just makes it more efficient and cost effective. Chopping it up here on 105.3 The Fan. We are headed to Indianapolis today, and how are we getting there?
I don't want to talk about it.
Southwest.
Well. Yes, an airplane. We are getting there on an airplane, so we might not get there. I don't know.
About to have a whole country of Madden cruisers.
Yesterday, a Southwest plane nearly collided with a private jet at Chicago's Midway Airport. I texted a buddy of mine who's a pilot, and he said, and I've heard this before, he goes, it happens way too much. He goes, it happens like every day. It seems like it happens every day in San Diego where they have like the one runway. And he said I've heard if we really knew how many times this happens, we'd never fly again. You'd never fly again.
How are we almost hitting planes on the ground?
I mean that that looked like so
we can do a four-way traffic stop, but we can't stay out of the way of other.
This one.
So describe what happened.
So there's a private jet, a small plane, crossing the runway. And the Southwest plane is landing. And as the plane lands, its wheels are like right there on the ground. You just see them go right back up.
Back up.
Right back up. And, you know, depth perception wise, like you can't really tell how far away he was, you know, 1,000 feet, 2,000 feet, 500 feet, or whether he would have been able to stop in time. It's not worth the risk. You just go back up. But the small jet, the Learjet, was told by air traffic control, hold short of the runway, and they just went right through. Didn't care. Didn't even listen.
This is how we got Tenerife, Chop. The Tenerife That's airport right. disaster. It's That's the right. deadliest accident in the history of aviation, and it occurred on a runway. It was a single runway, and it was confusion about who was supposed to hold, who was supposed to go, and somebody was trying to just get up to the speed to take off, V1.
Yeah.
And ran right through the other plane.
That was dead as fuck. This is a clear day.
This wasn't great. Have you ever been in a go around?
Yeah.
You've had a plane go around before?
Sean and I did. I've had a couple. We were going to Detroit.
Would never fly again.
Oh, it's
why? Yeah, it's just like killing time.
Yeah.
No, I'm not talking about circling. I'm talking about the go around where you're landing and they immediately have to pull back
it's
up.
It's been a couple.
I don't know if I've done that.
Yeah, we did it in Detroit. They had wind shear.
Okay.
You know, we were like maybe like 400 feet up. It wasn't like this low. It was like we were like landing, all of a sudden you see it go back up.
I mean, this guy, whoever this guy is, he's not going to get the Sully love of landing on the Hudson, but I mean, he spotted it and he bailed right out of there. He looked, you're right, depth perception wise, it's hard to tell. It looked like his wheels were like 5 feet from the ground when he went back up.
Yeah, maybe less. It was right there, chopping up on the fan. Now we return on a different flight. We return on a different airline. We come back on America's. We go to DFW, which was rated the worst airport baggage in the world, or at least in America. Now, this is a little bit different. It's not necessarily saying it's the worst because it's slow, or it's the worst because this or that.
I used to vote them the worst in terms of the baggage return. My last few instances, I think I had a Tolo hit me up after that. But my last few trips to DFW airport have been pretty good. Like going through customs and everything and immigration on the way back. Well, there's no line. So I guess I can't really judge you. Unless there is a line to show your efficiency. But DFW used to be horrible at the baggage claim. Yeah. I feel like they've gotten better.
I feel like they have too. But this is according to Air Advisor, which I assume is the aviation version of TripAdvisor.
It's the preeminent authority, I would say.
Yeah, the authority.
Based on the name.
They said that DFW faces the highest risk of luggage theft
Oh. And that's why it's the most lawless. And part of the reason they're saying is that you could get into a situation at DFW where you've got to walk 15 gates to get to the baggage.
Yeah,
right?
That's my problem right now with DFW is, or it may have been Love. I don't know which one, but walking to a ride share, holy crap. Yeah. Oh, it was a hike.
That's DFW. Because Love is...
It takes you into like a parking garage.
Love is... To me, Love is much more preferable to like ride into and do things. If you need to pick somebody up, Love is so much better. You can just circle it and come back around. The baggage pickup issue, I feel like Las Vegas, when we went to Vegas last year, I thought theirs was really bad. I'm trying to remember.
You got to take a train.
You got to go really far. And then it seemed like it took forever. Like even after the hike, we were waiting around for 20 minutes.
It was DFW. You're going to a parking garage.
Yeah.
That Luca bought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but you know, what they're also saying is that since DFW is like the third highest passenger volume busy wise in the world, that this is a total number of lost bags, not a percentage of lost bags. So they're really only losing like 0.02%.
Talking about the Cowboys' salary.
I know,
cap.
Right? That's it.
But look, does everyone have what percentage of people have air tags? I don't even know how air tags work. And the thieves now know how to disable them.
That saved Keller High School last year when they got their softball gear back. It was one of them had an air tag in their bag. One of the kids had an air tag in there that were able to trace where they had taken their stuff.
Yeah, I've got an air tag. It's easy. It's easy to look through. You buy them in packs of four.
It's like $25 or something.
Uh-huh.
Unless I am that late, unless the terminal, the baggage claim is that far away, there ain't no way someone's stealing my bag because I'm like a damn hawk. I don't even want to stop at the bathroom because I am so impatient by the time I land, I'm looking at every single bag dropping down, circling around. You ain't stealing my bag.
You won't even let it roll over to you. When you see it come out of the chute, you like walk towards it
because I want to get out of there.
Yeah.
Only to wait forever for my ride share.
This is a story from, I saw this on like Friday afternoon.
And have you ever, by the way, had your bag just completely gone where you had to get it the next day? That's never happened to me. Knock on wood.
A couple times where I had my golf clubs I had to get. I had another bag, a bag of clothes I had to get. I got those the next day. My dad, when I was young, they never found his golf clubs. So he got they paid for a new set, but they never found them.
I don't remember how quickly
probably
I was
that
old.
Biatch first wife took them too.
It might have been.
LAX lost fan signage or something that I had to take with me out to Oxnard one year. And that took, I feel like I was there an extra hour and a half, 2 hours until they could find it. But they lost that. That's the only issue I've ever had with not being able to get something back right away.
Job seekers are calling out the CEO for being manipulative in their interview tactics. Tell me what you think about this. This is a retired CEO. He retired this past year. And he said that these were his interview tactics that he would use to determine a person's character for the job application. He would ask interviewees about their greatest success.
Okay.
Paid close attention to their answer to determine if their view of the world revolves around others or them. And then he that was like a setup.
Yeah.
And then he asked you about your greatest failure. And he wanted to see in your answer if you placed any blame elsewhere.
Oh. Okay.
Kind of like
So what for the success I'm supposed to answer, we as an office team, we hit our goal for the month. It wasn't like, no, I led the way in sales in the office. I dominated everybody else.
Yeah, that's something like that, right? Or
like Bob Waterman up in here.
Absolutely. And then
give me some new accounts, Bob.
And then like on your failures, it was like, oh, you know, are you bringing in
throwing other people under the bus?
Yeah, throwing other people under the bus. That's a good way to put it. But the real test also came when he would schedule the breakfast meetings. He would schedule a breakfast meeting at a restaurant before he would get there early. And he would tell the server to mess up their order.
Oh.
And he wanted to see how they reacted.
Oh.
If they took it in stride, how they reacted to the person, to the server. That, people are saying, was like diabolical.
I like it.
I think there's nothing wrong with that.
Why is it diabolical? Choppy, your answer for like every type of topic that we do is in judging people, how do you treat the service? How do you treat the waiter? That's like your number one answer, your standard answer.
Yep.
So this should be fine.
It's fine. I'm totally fine with this. Yeah. I think, that's not a big deal at all.
No, and like,
I think it's a great tactic too.
Yeah, and it's said in there that they you could have just observed how they interact with the waiter at all. I'll tell you, Sean will interact with the waiter much differently if they mess up the order and start getting sassy like they did at the airport that one time.
Well, that's the thing. So Bobby's just gonna, I don't know. Bobby just won't eat. He won't reorder and just won't eat. Choppy will eat whatever they bring you. And me, it depends like how apologetic they are. You know what I mean? Like, I got this jackass at the airport, you know, that waited on me the time that Bobby's talking about. So, yeah, I'm going to let you know you're being a jackass.
I remember he was giving so much attitude, and Sean just goes, boy, we're just having a great time today, aren't we?
And look, you got to, and what type of tip? This guy better be giving the tip to overcome the Yelp rating that is coming
the bosses,
with the bad service.
Yeah.
Right?
The boss gives an extra tip.
He said he did.
He said that he told the waiter, I'll tip you better.
I mean, what negative? How? Okay, you bring me the wrong plate, and I go, excuse me, ma'am, I actually ordered chicken, not steak.
Yeah.
Problem solved, right? Like, how does it turn left from there?
Kristen almost never dated me again because on our first date, I said if they brought the plate over there, I was joking, but I said if they brought the plate over there with tomatoes on it, I was going to throw it across the room.
Of course, you know what?
Like that was a lie. Yeah. You throw things every week.
But chicken I wasn't wings. Really going to throw it. It just in my head I was going to throw it.
Smash things every week in your apartment.
Our boy,
the poor
Luigi.
Girls have to wear helmets.
Our guy, Luigi.
Oh gosh.
Our guy. Yeah.
That's your guy.
He has sparked the new summer footwear fashion. I mean, everything this guy touches, like, people are just fawning over. It's like he has a cult following. You see, like, the
eyebrows haven't caught on yet.
But the loafers he wore into trial have sparked a 1,400% Google search spike. That's like it's now they're
saying. This
guy's
a fashion icon.
He really is. He is a fashion icon. He stepped out these casual loafers on, and people are saying that they are the new summer footwear fashion. Everything he touches turns to gold. It literally does. And we completely forget that he sniped somebody in real life.
Yeah, I didn't either.
And, I mean, that's the thing. His little...
These lunatics forget.
Yes. His little Lawrence of Arabia scarf over his face, that didn't catch on. You don't see people wearing those everywhere.
No, that's true. Viral hunts for Luigi Mangione outfits have soared by 350%. On Google. We're living in a simulation.
Chopping it up every hump day. During the commercial-free expressway, how did it feel watching it actually happen? Luka against the Mavs. Did he get his revenge towards Nico and Jason Kidd? 877-881-1053 for your Luka phone calls in watching last night. Or did you not watch whatsoever? Did you find yourself repledging your fan love to the Mavericks? Or are you still rooting for the purple and gold with 77? 877-881-1053 after Luka night next.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.